I'm continuing in my series in the Gospel of Matthew. And today we're going to read about how Matthew became a disciple of Jesus, how he got called. And it's curious in some way that it's taken him a third of the way into his story to say, hey, this is what happened to me. But I think one of the big takeaways that we want to have from the text today is that Jesus called disciples then, and Jesus is calling disciples now. He wants each and every one of us to respond to his call to follow me. So let's read the text coming to us from Matthew 9, beginning in verse 9 and 13. Give your full attention to this, the word of the Lord. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose, and he followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house of Matthew, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came, and they were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those, rather, who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. This is the word of the Lord. Matthew. His nickname was Levi, Matthew Levi, presumably because Matthew was of the priestly tribe of the Levites. Matthew was a tax collector. And if you know anything about tax collecting under the Roman system 2,000 years ago, it was a bad business because these tax collectors, of course, were required to collect the tax of fishermen and farmers and tradespeople. And in the case of Matthew, he had a tax booth. He had a commission, if you will, from the Roman governing authorities in the town of Capernaum. And Capernaum was situated on the Sea of Galilee, and there were a lot of people traveling through, let's say even from Egypt, passing along through to Damascus. And guess what? When they showed up in Capernaum selling their wares, Matthew was there to get the Roman cut. But more than that, they were pretty much expected to take a commission. That's their business, right? And one of the reasons that the Jewish people hated the tax collectors, which Matthew was Jewish, so he was seen as collaborating with the Roman authorities. He was a collaborator. And not only that, but presumably as he collected his taxes, he took a good portion for himself. That's his commission. And he could decide if he wanted to jack his commission up for this person or for that person. So he was doubly hated by the people of the land, the Jewish people. He was a turncoat, and he was, in a sense, and very much so, a thief. I wonder if his own family had disowned him, not wanting to associate with this Matthew. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Chosen. How many of you have seen that on, I see some hands there. I love how Dallas in there, he's the director of that, he's trying to tell a story about the disciples. It's called The Chosen, and that's a double entendre. That's a word play because, of course, the Messiah, Jesus, about whom the story is mostly about, is the chosen one, the anointed one. But Jesus is choosing each and every one of his 12 disciples for a very specific reason. He has a purpose for each and every one of them. Now, the first disciples that he called were fishermen, Peter, James, and John in the sailboat. You've all heard that song, right? They were fishermen. But Matthew was not a fisherman. He probably had what I would call soft hands. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The other day I was telling you that we were looking at the story about Matthew and the other disciples. in the boat as they crossed the Sea of Galilee, and there was a fierce storm, and they were scared out of their wits. And I said, well, maybe the fishermen were a little less scared out of their wits than Matthew was. Maybe this was his first time in the boat, and he thought for sure, we're all going to die. And so Jesus said, peace, be still. And he spoke into Matthew's heart, and he speaks into our hearts as well. He speaks a word of grace, of mercy, and of love. So, as he's passing along that way in the town of Capernaum, he comes along to the tax booth. That's where they're collecting all of the tariffs. And there is Matthew, Levi, sitting there. And Jesus says to him, follow me. And no qualms, no questions asked. He literally gets up from his toll booth and he follows Jesus. Now there's a break here from the time that he follows Jesus until the next sentence where Matthew says, and then we're all sitting in my house and we're having a meal. Jesus is sitting there. Jesus is the guest of honor. Matthew is throwing a big feast. Jesus is my friend. I have a friendship with this incredible rabbi, this miracle worker, the one who says that he is the Messiah, the anointed one. He is going to release the burdens of the people. And so there they are in the house with the tax collectors and the sinners, it says. Now, of course, it makes sense that Matthew is going to invite a lot of his tax collecting professionals, or you might say cronies. These are his friends. These are the people that he is in business with. And so there he is at this big party at his house. Rich guy, presumably, so he's able to throw lavish parties. But I think it's interesting that Matthew says tax collectors and sinners. That's just that's like a catch-all phrase, isn't it? Sinners. In another place, you might see the word, prostitutes, or those that are on the outskirts of society, the dregs, if you will, the people that the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, look down their long nose at and said, oh, I'm glad that you have not made me like them. I'm glad that, I am a good, good Jew, and that I follow the Torah, all the laws. And there they are, sitting around that table, and they are in fellowship with one another. Jesus and his other disciples, and now Matthew, the new guy on the block. Boy, would I ever have loved to be a bug on the wall and hear the conversations there, wouldn't you? 2,000 years ago, Peter, that rough fisherman, thinking to himself, Jesus, you might be making a mistake here by having Matthew. I mean, really? Come on. Who is this guy? Jesus is always upsetting our pretensions, isn't he? Our way of doing things. There's our way, and then there's the Jesus way. And Jesus is consistently showing us his way. And he's saying to Matthew, I want to have table fellowship with you because I have a plan for your life. Think about this. What kind of qualities would you need if you were a tax collector? You're hired by the Roman governing authorities, and you better be good at numbers, and you better be good at counting and recording things. And it would be helpful, of course, if you had a very keen eye, okay? Because there you are at your tax booth, and you're seeing people go by, and you're like, you, come over here. You owe me some taxes. So you have to be a keen observer. I love that Jesus is taking this man who has developed all of these certain skills and qualities, the accountant type of skills and the keen powers of observation, and Jesus says, Matthew, I've got a plan for you. And that becomes the first gospel. 28 chapters of detail where Matthew says, I got to record this so that this generation and all generations may know the greatest story ever told. And it's so beautiful when you think about the kind of details that Matthew puts in there. Yeah, God is using his temperament and his giftings already, but now in a new and fresh way. Not so that Matthew could get rich, but so that the kingdom would grow, and that the kingdom would become rich with more and more people. Because God used all of these 12 disciples to tell this story. And many, many people heard the story and were compelled by it and came. Now, there were some who didn't come. It's in the story. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders. You know, they were people that were people of the book, and they played it by the book. And Jesus said of them, maybe you're just a little bit too proud of your own work here. I think when Jesus said, I want you to learn this phrase and delve into it and study. You people that are studiers of the word, of the law of God, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. That's a quote from the Old Testament. You see, these people weren't being merciful. Again, they were judging. They were saying, gee, this man, he can't possibly be the anointed one, the Messiah, the chosen, because he's hanging around with the riffraff, the lowlifes, the sinners. And their idea was that Jesus only came to, you know, those that were pure in heart and that were good already. But Jesus is saying, I have come to the people that recognize their need. Now, we all know if you're healthy and strong, you might go to have your annual checkup. If you're young, you might not even have that annual checkup. But there's no reason, really, to go to a doctor if you're not feeling sick. But when you are sick, you feel your need of a doctor, do you not? And so you go. Here's the deal. Jesus is saying about Matthew and about all the people that are around that table, all these, you know, notorious sinners, they feel their need for me. And so I speak life, and I speak health, and I speak the year of Jubilee into their life. Because maybe for the tax collectors to be a pariah in their own country, that must have been very painful. And here you have a man that loves God, that is a miracle worker, that is the chosen one, and he's telling you, I love you and you count. Because in the kingdom of God, that's the upside down kingdom, Jesus is doing everything different than the way the world would do it. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they want to play it by the book. Mercy versus sacrifice. For those Pharisees, and maybe for us sometimes today, we think, sacrifice. This is what I got to give up for God. These are all the things that I got to do for God. And I think Jesus is saying, don't think so much about what you have to do for me. But think about what I have done for you. I have welcomed you. I have loved you. I have declared freedom for the captive. Release from your sins. Jesus invites us today. He is telling each and every one of us, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will find your identity in me, not in money, not in what people think of you, but in me. Because we all need God. God made us, and God loves us, and he wants to be in relationship with us. And in Revelation 3, verse 21, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice, because I'm calling, come follow me, and opens the door, I will come in, and I will have table fellowship with that person, and he or she with me. Jesus invites us to enter into relationship with him. And Jesus invites us to his table, because all of this was accomplished because Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid the price. We were in a terrible predicament, and we could not be reconciled to God through our own efforts. But God came in love, in the incarnation, and said, I will give myself for them. And Jesus did that. Jesus paid it all. And so in communion, through the representation of His blood and of His body, He gives Himself afresh to you today. Are you hungry? Are you longing for more of Him, a deeper relationship with God in Christ? He welcomes you to the table.